you have never known real fear until you have lived in complete darkness. My name is Eli, son of Reuben and Sarah. Born in Jerusalem, born blind. I am blind, rather was blind for the first 38 years of my life. And I've come this morning to ask you to hear me explain what is found in the Bible in John chapter 9 in 41 brief verses. It tells the story. It tells all one needs to know. But I want to tell you how that day affected me for the rest of my life. If you imagine blindness, you have to understand and know that I'm not talking about blindness the way people who are sightless are treated today. No privileges. No seeing eye dogs. No cane to help you. No rights and laws that are created just for people like me. But we're talking about first century blindness. We're talking about a time when, though many were stricken with such a disease because of impure hygiene, dirty, unclean water, I was born sightless. And the only way I could make a living once I grew to where I could function on my own, that's an understatement, was to live out my life as a beggar. No hope for the future. No prospects for marriage or for family. For Eli was a blind beggar. My story changed. My miracle happened on one given Sabbath day, and keep that in mind, for it's very important later on in my testimony. That one particular Sabbath morning, I was going through my normal routine. What was that? Making my way, for I could feel my way along, basically on my own, no friends, no real family. Had some people who cared for me and relatives who tried their best, but this is first century. I was left to beg, and I found my familiar spot. And as it was every day, I was even more disadvantaged than others because I could not see. There were others who, though they were handicapped in some way, at least could venture out and catch someone's eye, and they always managed to do better than I could do. I heard the footsteps heading my way. For you know, when you're blind, your sense of hearing is acute. And when you're blind, your sense of smell is unbelievably good. And I smelled the smells of life all those years. Bread, sweat, fish, animals. I heard the men talking. And they stopped near me, and I did my obligatory lifting of the bowl, thinking that they would give me something. And then I heard one of the men say, "Rabbi Jesus, whose fault is this? Was it that this man sinned, or was it his parents?" Oh, had I heard that one before. For you see, in my day, in my time, in first century religious life, people like me were seen as an accident? Oh no, a curse. I had sinned? How could I be held responsible? I was born this way. My mom and dad had sinned. But the rabbi, the man Jesus, immediately interrupted his friends. And he said, and this is what I heard, he said, "Neither sinned. But while there is still light, I am here to do the good works of my Father." And with that, I felt him kneel down. and he took my face in his hands. And then I heard him spit. And then I felt the mud on my eyes. Oh, I'd been down this road before. Everyone knew that those who could heal always used their own saliva, always used their own bodily fluids to make the mud. But he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam and do it now. And I did. I made my way to that pool on the southern end of the city of Jerusalem. And on that Sabbath day, I washed my eyes. How can I explain to you 38 years living in darkness, never knowing what it meant to see, and washing that mud off of my eyes, the light, the incredible rush from seeing? Now hear me. Have you ever thought about what a camel looked like? I saw one. If I were the creator, I would have done it differently, but I could see it. I made my way back somewhere. I don't remember, but I could see. But people could see me, and those that I knew, those who were my quote-unquote neighbors, those who were friends of the family, stopped me. Benjamin and Mary, can that be you, Eli, they said, and I didn't know what to say. But Benjamin was a fisherman, and I smelled him all my life. And then I saw a fish. I somehow thought that that's what Benjamin ought to look like. But I said, no, it's me. It's really me. No, it can't be. It wasn't too much longer, maybe 15 to 20 minutes before there was an entire crowd who had come upon me. No, it looks like him. No, it can't be him. Yes, it is him. I know it's him. And finally, I just interrupted and said, it's me. It's Eli. And all it took was my recognition of voices and smells to call them by name because I could recognize their voice. And indeed, they believed. First question, what happened? Who did this? And I told them. I described the routine that I'd gone through every day of my 38 miserable years of life, at least that I could keep up with. But I explained to them about the man Jesus who spit on the ground and made mud and put it on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool. And I did, and I see, and I can see you. Well, something's got to be done. We've got to authenticate this. We've got to make sure that everything's been done according to the way it should be done. I didn't really understand that, but it wasn't too much longer before I had been forced along and pushed along. Some people congratulated me. A few people hugged me. A few people shed tears. But for the most part, I was just pushed along to the synagogue, to the Pharisees, for them to sort things out. First stop, church. Leaders. I didn't know them very well, for they had little to do with me. But I recognized some voices. And the leaders of my synagogue in Jerusalem began to question me. What happened? Did this happen today? Well, yes. It was the Sabbath day. And so immediately, a group of leaders who should have been authenticating a 38-year-old blind man who now could see were upset because he performed this work on the wrong day. I begin to ask myself before I said it out loud, now, who's really blind here? Who really sees? And who doesn't? I explained to them, as I explained to my friends, the man Jesus spit on the ground, made mud, put it on my eyes, sent me to the pool. I washed my eyes off. I now see. I don't know what else to think. I don't know everything about him. I just know his name, and I know that he did what he did, and I really don't care what day it happened on. I can see. I can see. But did they comfort the blind man who was going through the rush of seeing for the first time? Did they offer any encouragement? Did they say, "Glad you can see"? No. They immediately begin to criticize and to talk about having to take care of this man who dishonored God. And there began the argument. If he did what he did, can he be from God? They thought if he did it on the wrong day, he couldn't be of God. All I knew was I was blind, but now I could see. Next stop, mom and dad. They knew me, and they knew where I had family. So they brought in my parents. My own mother, my own father. I'd never seen them. I couldn't imagine what my own mother looked like. And the first time I laid eyes on her was in the midst of an inquisition, in the midst of a judgment, in the midst of an argument over what happened to Eli and why did it happen on this day and who's going to take responsibility. And I understand it now, but I couldn't understand it then. Why my own parents didn't forget it all and find me and touch me. Maybe they were so afraid because they were immediately pushed in one corner and I was in the other. And they said, "Is this your son?" Yes. "Was he born blind?" Yes. "How do you explain this?" Well, how do you explain this? The man Jesus came to me, put mud in my eyes, told me to wash. I now can see. The Pharisees asked me what I thought of him, and I said, "I know his name, and I think he's a prophet." That made them madder. And then when they drug my mom and dad in, it's, "What do you think of this?" The only thing my parents could say was, "He's of age. Ask him." He's of age? Ask him. I'll have to admit, I had some selfish feelings here of, why can't I have a little mothering? Why can't I have a little fatherly love? Why can't I have a little, why can't I have a break here? But they turned it back on me. I know now that there was a movement that anyone who identified with Jesus and called him the Christ, called him the long-awaited Messiah, that if you sided with him and said that and believed it, that you would be desynagogued. That's the literal word, kicked out of the synagogue. And that was a big deal, I know. And it was a huge threat hanging over my mom and dad's head, but at the same time, it's me, your son. And I've never been able to see you until this moment. And we're wrapped up in what day it is, and we're wrapped up in who Jesus is, and we're wrapped up in our fears and our failings. Ask him. He's of age to speak for himself. And so they came back to me one more time, dragging me in before all of them, adding a few more leaders, a few more people. And they asked me the same thing. What happened to you? And I said again, I've already told you two or three times. Must I tell you again? Don't sass us, they said. The man Jesus, the one who I think is a prophet, the one who many think is the Christ, put mud in my eyes and told me to go to the pool of Siloam. And I went there and I washed. And I know it's the wrong day, but all I can say is I was blind and now I see. And I don't know why you're arguing with me. I don't know why, unless you really want to follow him. And that's when it all really broke loose. The screaming, the taunting. And they threw me out. They officially de-synagogued Eli. They made a spectacle of kicking me out, the 38-year-old blind beggar who never really took part in anything because I was excluded, the one who had no future, but yet they took it upon themselves to officially de-synagogue me. And they cast me out. All those other times I had been treated brutally and thrown and tossed and kicked, I couldn't see. It's pretty frightening when you can see and you were physically thrown about, and I was. What a day. Started at the gate where I always started my days, but it had ended so much differently. I began to wander through the streets of Jerusalem. And I was drawn back to where I knew I needed to go because I couldn't stay away. I had to go back. I had to go back to where I spent every day of my life. When I turned the corner, now able to see, knowing by the simple fact that I could close my eyes and find my way there because I had all those years. But when I turned the corner and looked, there was already someone else in my place. There was already another poor, unfortunate individual, a man, who sat where I sat. I felt his presence before I really turned to look, but that sense of feeling when you can't see has always been acute with me. And I turned knowing I was going to be looking at the man who had given me sight. I hadn't seen him. He put the mud on my face and told me to go wash and disappeared. And my whole day had been spent arguing, talking. But I sensed his presence and I turned to look. And there he was. It was as though he knew I had been de-synagogued, kicked out. And as he stood before me, before I could say thank you, before I could say anything, he said these words to me. He said, Eli, do you believe in the Son of Man? I'd never been that religious, but boy, I knew that phrase. The Son of Man? I'd heard stories about the coming Son of Man. I'd never heard anyone call themselves that or really utter it, but I knew that the Son of Man represented that one who would come and redeem us all and save us all. It was God's anointed one. And I just responded and said, show me where he is so I can. And then Jesus said, You have seen him, and the one speaking to you, it's me. I remember my immediate response, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Who's really blind around here? Jesus said something after I stopped to worship him. Something to the effect that he came into this world for judgment. And he came to open the eyes of those who couldn't see. And he came to proclaim that those who said they could see were blind. I'm not really sure what he meant. Except for someone who had been blind all of their life. When my eyes were opened, I was able to see many people who could see clearly, who yet could see nothing. Nothing of importance. My name is Eli. And that day Jesus did not give me only my sight, but he gave me life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Sing it with me. Amazing grace, how sweet, that saved of me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. If you give careful attention to that passage, the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, you'll notice an amazing progression in that blind man's understanding. He first recognized the presence of Jesus, a man who walked around with a certain group of followers, who said things that upset people, who people heard claim to be this or that. But to the blind man, he just simply caught the name. The miracle of the healing that no doubt was overwhelming, and we can't even begin to imagine all of the sensations that man felt in that one day. But you notice in that passage that when pressed to say, what do you think about him? He did this to you. He healed you. He immediately said, I believe he's a prophet. Which really says that he moved from the name Jesus to identifying Jesus as someone who identified with God. That was the whole deal here. If Jesus was from God, would God allow one of his messengers to do something like this on the Sabbath? To some people, it was absolutely not. But to the blind man, it didn't matter. He logically said, a person couldn't do these good deeds unless he was from God. He's a prophet. And then you find later on in the passage that when dealing with the mom and dad, and when dealing with the fact that he was of age, The writer John mentions that there was a movement that some people were calling Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And that was causing trouble. That was causing people to get kicked out of their church, de-synagogue, literally. And then when Jesus approached the man after he had been thrown out, after this first day of sight ended up being perhaps a lot more than he expected in many ways, it was then that the man, understanding who Jesus was, said, "Lord, Lord." A term that in some circles, at some periods of history, meant sir. It was a gesture of kindness and respect. But as time went on, and when this man called Jesus Lord, it meant much more than just sir. But it meant capital L-O-R-D, my Lord, my Savior, my boss. Jesus, prophet, to the Christ, to my Lord. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to see, to really see. Because I believe there are a lot of blind people in this room today. I believe there are a lot of us who think we can see, who think we have it figured out, who think we know, who think our convictions are the best. But in reality, Jesus would look at us and say, because you have this attitude, you are blind. I want to give you an opportunity to say, Jesus is my Lord. I want to give you an opportunity this morning that if you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, that you say so, that you identify with Him, that you tell this congregation, that you identify with Him in believers' baptism. I want to give you the opportunity this morning that if you need a place to call your own, if you need a church to belong to serve through, I want to give you the opportunity to come forward and be a part of this congregation, this church. A church that seeks to lead people in the path of Christ. A church that doesn't de-church people. That doesn't de-synagogue people when they don't meet our expectations. I want to give you, I want to give my own life, I want to give me the opportunity to say yes to the Lord Jesus. I ask you to stand with me as we sing this morning. There are deacons and ministers here in the front. As you feel led to respond, as you feel led to see things as God would see them, I ask you to come forward and respond right now.